515. I believe it is, that aired for me on July 31st. I've already been down here recording one other solo mission today. I looked at Impact Wrestling's homecoming pay-per-view from this past Saturday, so that's why I'm a couple hours late doing this one right now. But we are going to take a look at this week's offering from Ring of Honor, which was kind of an interesting episode because it was week one of their women's tournament. So they're going to crown a champion at the end of this tournament. So all three matches today are from that tournament. And I don't know. I don't think I have too much to say before we head into it. So I say we get right into talking about Ring of Honor episode 515. So just to give you a little bit of background here, I am a pretty big fan of women's wrestling, and some women wrestlers are among my favorite wrestlers overall. Really, Io Shirai, Britt Baker, Dakota Kai, etc. I'm also generally a big fan of tournaments. I just like it adds a little bit of realism to my wrestling, which I always like, and sometimes it'll introduce some new competitors I haven't seen or I've barely seen, which is definitely the case with this tournament. So I am pretty open to this tournament. I'm looking forward to it. Always looking forward to seeing some new talent in some new combinations. And nice to see that Ring of Honor is bringing back a women's division, is going to end up with a women's championship out of this. So this show starts with a flashback, not too far back, just to Best in the World, with Maria announcing the women's tournament, also announcing that the winner will become the ROH women's champion. And also we get the surprise arrival of Chelsea Green at that pay-per-view. And she tells the fans that she will be cleared to wrestle in 1 month and will elevate the women's division once her cast comes off. And I think in the meantime, she's going to be around to scout all of the competition that she will face once she has healed. We then join Quinn McKay at the desk as the show usually starts. She tells us that the women's tournament will be featured on ROH TV until early September, with the finals of the tournament taking place at Death Before Dishonor. I believe she said that was on September 12th. So we get the bracket displayed on the screen, and Quinn McKay points out to us that she has been added to the bracket after fans voted that she should have a spot due to the constant interference and cheating of the Allure, which is Mandy Leon and Angelina Love, who Quinn did face each of them in a match to sort of qualify for this and lost both times due to shenanigans by the heel duo. So I think this is something I suggested a couple weeks ago. I really felt strongly that Quinn was going to somehow end up in this tournament and that she would probably get her revenge on one or both of Allure. And look at that. She is facing Mandy Leon in her round one match. So I think that's probably a good idea, because couple weeks ago I thought Quinn cut a excellent babyface promo. Her in-ring work is a little bit behind that, but still it felt to me like she was going to get in this tournament and she would probably face one or both of the women who beat her previously, and it looks like that might in fact happen. So Quinn thanks the fans for voting her in, briefly talks about the history of the ROH women's division, including a few names like Mickie James and Awesome Kong, among others, who have competed in the ROH women's division in the past. So Quinn then announces the first three first-round matches we're going to get on today's show. The main event will be Sumi Sakai versus Roxy. We're also going to get Maserati versus Nicole Savoy. And in the opener, we will see Miranda Alize face Alex Gracia. So the first little promo segment features Miranda Alize and Alex Gracia, and it's kind of a back and forth, so you get a bit of one back to the other and then back to the original and so forth. So just a quick summary of that. Alize is the Lucha baddie from Houston, and Gracia is the Pink Dream and fights for who she is. Alize says she's always the fastest, and it turns out she is good friends with Gracia and knows all of Gracia's strengths and weaknesses. Gracia describes herself quickly as a technical wrestler who has overcome too much to let anyone stop her in this tournament. So these were very, very quick promos here. It kind of let us know the bare minimum, which I found helpful, right? We've kind of got a difference in styles, as we've got sort of a lucha style versus a technician, we're led to believe. and also that these two are friends outside of the ring. So we get a little bit of background there, which I always appreciate. It's all they really needed to do here, especially if neither of them are making a deep run in this tournament. Not that I know that ahead of time, but if they're not going super far, we don't need too many details. I have seen Gracia before on ROH, I think one of the internet shows. To be honest, I wasn't very impressed with her in that match. I don't think I've seen Alizé before, or at least I don't remember seeing her. So let's see how this goes. It's Miranda Alizé, I believe I'm saying that correctly, versus Alex Gracia. So there's no fans in the arena for this, which is unfortunate. It does feel like a step back after watching pretty much everyone have fans, including Impact right now. In attendance, they're having fans pretty regularly now. So it's a little bit of a step back to go to the empty arena. So Chelsea Green and Lenny Leonard have joined the commentary booth. And I'm not trying to be rude, but ROH present Lenny Leonard as though I should know who he is or will remember him from something, and I really don't. Not that I think he does a bad job. It's just they seem to be trying to promote him like that's going to be a selling point when I have no idea who this guy is. But that's okay. Chelsea immediately comments on how cute Alex Gracia is. She is the pink dream, and I compare her a little bit reminiscent of Alexa Bliss when she was doing just the pure, innocent, tiny baby face thing before all of her current things came. It reminds me a little bit of that. So this match begins. We're getting lots of smiles between the two as they're friends, and they're just trying to outdo each other with holds and counters and some playful taunting. Each of them are sort of unfortunately involved in some awkward spots coming off the rope early. There was a little bit of sloppiness in this match for sure. There's an awkward landing on the floor for Gracia as Alizé moves out of the way of a, I guess it was some sort of springboard leap by Gracia, but it did not look very good here. Alizé takes control, runs Gracia into the barricade a couple times. Alizé establishes herself, I felt, kind of as the heel because she starts yelling into the camera and her opponent to just sort of clarify the positions here, I think, for these two. There was a pretty nice backstabber by Gracia countering Alizé at one point. And then what we're told is the pink press, which is basically a Thez press with some pretty weak grounded strikes before a kick to the face of Alizé for a two count. Gracia goes up top and I have 90% misses what I think was a blockbuster, like barely makes contact, and Alizé still sells it. It was awkward. Even Chelsea Green, for whatever reason, I keep wanting to call her Rachel Green, which is not the case. So Chelsea Green on commentary even has to say that she doesn't know what that move was, because it wasn't a move. It was basically missing something and having the other person acting like you still hit it. So we get a high knee by Alizé for two, a cutter and a drive-by knee, they call it, and Alizé picks up the win here in this round one match. They shake hands. Alizé celebrates by yelling that she is ready for anyone else in the back. To be perfectly honest, this was a pretty rough start. There was some sloppiness on both sides of this match. Gracia looks very inexperienced to me. I honestly don't know if that's the case. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. She does not look fluid at this point. It looks like she is still really thinking about everything that's going on in the match and sort of just having it happen because she's... I think it's just a thing that experience will fix. She hasn't done all of these things a million times. She still has to sort of think as she's going through it. It's not coming naturally yet and flowing, but that doesn't mean that it won't with more experience. I thought Alizé looked better, but she had a couple sloppy moments too. The final couple minutes of this were better, but I really don't think this was a strong start to this tournament. I was not impressed so far based off of this match. We then move on and we're getting Maserati gets to speak first before the second match, and she's all about attitude and says she will build the division in her image. We then get Nicole Savoy, who is the suplex queen or the Sacramento suplex machine, and she says that if she catches Maserati with her half Nelson suplex, it's over. Back to Maserati saying she's smart and quicker and will win by any means necessary. Back to Savoy, who says she wants to prove that she can do this on her own. I don't get what that references to. I think she was part... they do mention later that she was part of a faction before. I don't know enough about Savoy to get this whole do it on her own thing. That could have been explained a little better, frankly. But I guess she's used to not doing things on her own, and she's going to this time. Maserati closes this by saying that some people should just stay in the shadows. I think, I'm not quite sure what this is a reference to, but they do talk about Savoy being in a faction with Mercedes Martinez and Shayna Baszler at one point. So I don't know if that's the reference or if there's something more current, because I'm not up on everyone in this tournament, which I actually quite like. So I thought these promos were a little bit more interesting than the first couple we got. Maserati seems to have a lot of attitude and charisma, and I think she's clearly the heel heading into this. I thought she was quite good. Savoy's the babyface trying to go it on her own, I guess, at this point. So I thought this package was fine. I know I've heard of Nicole Savoy before. I'm not sure if I've seen her or not. I feel like I have, but I can't guarantee it. And I'm pretty sure I haven't seen Maserati before. But again, I could be wrong. I tend to watch some random wrestling things. I'll check out any sort of federation I can find. So it's possible I've seen them before, but I don't remember it, at least. So it is Nicole Savoy versus Maserati in this opening round match. Commentary tells us Savoy had a lengthy run as Shimmer champion, which I don't think I knew. And right away, after the code of honor, Maserati steps on Savoy's boots to sort of scuff them up intentionally, just as a show of disrespect. Again, clearly establishing who the heel and babyface are in this match, which I think is a useful thing. So I like that little touch actually to begin. So we get a double wrist lock by Savoy, who at this point, that's when they told us she was in a stable with Baszler and Mercedes Martinez. So early on, it's Savoy applying submission on Maserati sort of trying to escape. Savoy's working Maserati's arm on the mat. Maserati eventually does escape that one as well. At one point, Maserati executes an eat defeat on the apron. Then we get some kicks and a follow-away slam by Savoy a bit later. Maserati pulls on Savoy's hair to avoid the half Nelson suplex. Double knees get caught by Savoy. She delivers a double underhook suplex. Then we get a ripcord Northern Light suplex by Maserati. A DDT to Savoy, who's on her knees for a two count. And then a pretty good looking TKO by Nicole Savoy for a two count. And the finish comes when Savoy ducks a kick, hits the half dragon with a bridge to pin Maserati and win this first round match. This match started out very slowly with lots of sort of holds and escapes, but things did pick up in the second half. Maserati has really good charisma and like strong heel antics. I wasn't super impressed with her in-ring work, but I thought her character work and just heel stuff was pretty convincing. Savoy looked pretty good. I imagine she's going to look even better as the quality of her opponents improve throughout this tournament. I have a feeling she's going to advance pretty far just based on sort of the credentials she's coming into this with. She did hit a couple of suplexes for sure, but someone being billed as the queen of the suplex and me being a guy who does love suplexes, I was personally kind of hoping for a more dominant performance here. I would have loved her to come in, just hit a whole bunch of different suplexes, sort of like a la Brock Lesnar or a Bobby Lashley style dominant victory in the first round. But that's not what we got, and I'm not booking this. So this was better than the opener. I would only say this match was decent. I still don't think it was a good match, but it was better than the opener. So a decent match here, and I am looking forward to seeing a little bit more of Nicole Savoy going forward. She's an interesting talent, I think. We then get the promos ahead of the next match, and Rock C is 19 years old and is called a prodigy, she says. She says that the fans tend to believe in her more than she believes in herself, and she's very grateful for the fans. She just wants to make 10-year-old version of herself proud, and winning this tournament would do that. Sumi Sakai talks very briefly, says she's been in tournaments before, she's ready, she loves to fight to win, and her dream will come true. Regarding these promos, I thought Roxy had a really effective, really believable, like innocent, fresh-faced thing going for her. She seemed really comfortable, believable as like the somewhat self-doubting babyface that the fans sort of gravitate to and provide her with a little additional confidence. For being so young, a teenager literally, I thought she showed a lot in this little promo. Sumi Sakai obviously didn't say very much, and it was a pretty generic promo she cut, but it was fine as well. So I think, just speaking about these two, I think I saw Roxy on a match on ROH Online somewhere, and I wasn't impressed with her either. But she is 19, so my expectations really need to be tempered a little bit. And I'm sure I've seen Sumi Sakai somewhere along the line, but can't think of a specific time, but I'm pretty sure I would have seen her at some point in my wrestling fandom of several decades now. So we do get the main event. It is Roxy versus Sumi Sakai in this first round matchup. So we get grappling to start, but Sumi Sakai ends up in a full mount, kind of with a wry smile on her face as she's early on just whatever Roxy's trying to do. Sumi Sakai's seen it all before and is kind of one step ahead here early on and just kind of smiling a little bit about it. We get a back handspring into double knees by Roxy that I thought looked really nice. Lucha arm drag and a running European before double knees by Roxy for another two count. Sakai gets Roxy's leg, applies a single leg crab, but Roxy gets to the ropes to break it up. There's a strike exchange, and again, Sumi Sakai is sort of smiling about this. Sakai hits some corner stomps and a rope-assisted knee to Roxy. Sakai goes back to targeting Roxy's back, so she's doing a nice job throughout this match sort of working on Roxy's back. This one involves a high-angle Boston Crab that looked kind of like the Jericho's old Lion Tamer, which I loved before he sort of modified it. And then she sort of sits back into a deeper single-leg crab, but Roxy again gets to the ropes to break that one up. She escapes again later, hits a back elbow, a boot, and a Thez press to Sumi Sakai. And then there was a graceful escape here a bit later on into a Russian leg sweep by Roxy, who moves really well. I was impressed. I'll get to that in the end, I guess. Neckbreaker by Roxy, but a back suplex by Sakai as she keeps attacking the back of Roxy. And Sakai is such a veteran of this that she has lots of different ways to sort of target the back, so I really like that aspect of this match as well. We get a spinning heel kick to Sakai, who's seated on the top rope. A top rope Rana follows that by Roxy for a two count. And then we get a fisherman's buster by Sumi Sakai for a two count. The finish comes when Roxy goes for a kick. It gets caught by Sakai, but Roxy counters that into basically a victory roll that is successful, and she pins Sumi Sakai for what I would consider, and I think commentary did as well, a first round upset in this tournament. So this match, I can see why they positioned this as the main event. I really enjoyed this match. There's a few dynamics I like. You get a veteran versus a teenager. You get a clear heel, I thought, versus a pretty strong babyface in Roxy. You also have Sakai with her veteran abilities just relentlessly targeting Roxy's back. Roxy doing a pretty decent job of selling it and just kind of finding a way to survive against this tough veteran. I thought Sakai was really solid and probably was part of the reason that I think Roxy looked really good in this match. I was very impressed with Roxy. I know going into this match, I said I saw her wrestle once before for ROH and wasn't very impressed, but I was really impressed with her here, and that's I'm thrilled to be changing my mind about that because I'm always excited to see talent, especially if it's young and new talent. I thought she looked really good. I was impressed. She moves really well around the ring. She looks really comfortable, especially contrasted with a couple of the other women on this show. She's 19 years old, but they did comment that she has wrestled a ton during this pandemic. She's had 26, I think it was, matches during the pandemic, which apparently is a lot compared to many other people. I thought she looked really great. And again, it's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm impressed by a wrestler that I knew very little about, and to be honest, wasn't that impressed with the first time I saw her. So I thought she looked really good here. I don't know if it's a difference in competition. I know I'm pretty sure when I saw her on ROH, she was wrestling before this, I'm referring to, somebody else who wasn't super experienced, so maybe working with Sumi Sakai helped her out quite a bit, but I thought this was a very good main event, and I do think that the right person won this match, as Roxy's a talent that they can help to build and get her over during, I say a deep run in this tournament, not that the tournament's like a 64-person tournament, but you know what I mean, by getting her a little bit more exposure in this tournament, even winning one round is great for Roxy. She'll get another match, obviously, at least. So I thought she looked really good. I was really impressed. And I mean, throw in the fact that she's 19 years old. It's really impressive because I thought she looked good. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. And I really liked the main event. So getting into overall thoughts for this show, despite the main event, I don't think it was a very strong episode of Ring of Honor. For me, there was a good match, the main event, a not very good match, the opener, and one somewhere in between. So yes, the main event was the one I really liked, especially impressed, as I said, with the teenager Roxy. Unfortunately, the other matches were nowhere near as strong, with the opener between Gracia and Alize being, I would call it, forgettable, and the Savoy-Maserati match just being decent. Although, like I said, I would like to see Savoy again, because I think she's pretty good, and she just needs a sort of a better showcase, maybe a stronger opponent or something different to really showcase herself, I think. I would recommend the main event, even if just for people to familiarize themselves with Roxy, because I imagine she's going to be around for a while and you're going to see her hopefully in Ring of Honor if they can hang on to her or somewhere else. Because I think at that age, with as good as she is now, there's going to be people hoping to sign her. If she's not signed already, I really don't know what her status is. But the main event alone is not enough to give this a super high grade. But I still think I'm going to give this show, I would give it a B minus. So that's like okay to almost good. I'm giving it a bit of bonus because they're holding a women's tournament, which I think is a cool idea. And obviously, they don't have the deepest roster, so they had to bring in some women from other places to sort of fill out this tournament. So I'm giving it a kind of a close to solid B minus. I would say check out the main event just to see kind of, I think, the best match of the tournament so far and a youngster that I think has a bright future, I would say. So yeah, a B minus is my grade for this show. So I think that's going to bring me to the end of this brief discussion of ROH. I do apologize, it's a couple hours later than normal, but just had a busy day today. Still thought I'd come down here and finish it up. I would love to hear feedback from anybody that's listening to anything we put out, to be honest. fnswrestling@gmail.com will come to me. Any comments in YouTube will come to me. And fns_wrestling_podcast, if you would like to contact us on Instagram. That one goes to my teenage son, who I co-host a show with on Saturdays. If you haven't checked it out, we talk about NXT, we talk about AEW Dynamite, we talk about Impact Wrestling, we do a trivia segment because my son is a bit of a wrestling encyclopedia. He loves wrestling figures and collectibles, so we always end every episode where he talks about what's new from that world. And I think that's going to wrap it up for me on this weekend. So I don't think there's any bonus episodes planned heading before Saturday, but we'll be back on Saturday for sure with episode 55 of our flagship program. So hopefully I will see you all then. And until then, take care.